Mr. Schutt, Reel 2. You were talking about your very early memories, Mr. Schutt. Do you recall the telegraph boy bringing the news that people had been killed in the village during the First World War? Do you have any memories of the results of that? It must have been dreadful.
Oh, there was a death in every family. The fathers, the mothers. Oh, that's true, that. It was a war then, didn't it? But what was it, the Battle of the Marne or something? Where the lost, well, there were soldiers, I mean, there. The Battle of the Marne. What was it called?
The Somme.
Somme, that's it. A lot of old friends in the same street, you know.
At times of disaster like that, with people being hurt or killed in families, whether it was the pits or the war, did the friends and neighbours come to help?
Oh, yes, they did. The funeral of them days was all marched behind the black horses and cogs, you know. And everybody always went back and got some days after, you know, them days. I remember them, they must have.
We're talking about the mid-1920s and the strikes. What are your memories of the community suffering in those days?
Yes, well, the soup kitchens was on for the school kids. Oh, I never went to soup kitchens. My mother. My mother used to tell me, she's a Thompson, and her father had a shop down it for me. And had a few horses and carts and had a grocery shop. And
we were talking about the effect of the strike in the soup kitchens.
Soup kitchens. We never went to soup kitchens because the women butchers created a little bit, you know.
So you got food from where you're working or where your father was working?
Oh, yes.
It must have been hard for the rest of the community.
Most of the miners up there, you know, because, I mean, the strike at the time, it was 6 weeks. It was very hard. I've never been back this far for 50 odd years. This is what's happening now.
Lots of men would, as you should say, would have nothing to do. They'd be just sitting on corners.
And that's right.
How long were you at the shop?
At the shop? I was there at 21-year-old. None of them. I'm getting along with the date now. I was there at 21-year-old. Now, long stuff. I was a professional grocer in the mind, I tell you that. He liked me because he had trouble with her lad, but I used to have an old bike and I could be back in no time. I've cycled since I was a youngster. I was looking down a bike. But anyway, he was selling up the shop. He sold the shop. A man called Murray. That's it. He sold the shop. A man called Murray. And he kept me on, this man, this Murray. He was a retired man, but he used to work at the cooperative store. And I think he just wanted another little bit shop to go and carry on. He kept me on. That was it. So I was 21, and then we had another young lad, assistant, and I wanted a rise. I wasn't getting very much, you know, so I wanted a rise. He saw his bookkeeper and everything, you know, and he was sorry at the finish. I had to go. 21-year-old. And from there on, when I finished, there was other bits of I worked at another little store, you know, he was poor and was sending for me and to give him a pull out and things like that. And then in Thorny, then this, there was what they call a show, one of the best agricultural shows here in the north. It was bigger than Stokesley, one show, but this agricultural show. It was a big weekend, carnival and everything. In the shops them days, they used to have competitions and prizes, you know, for best dressed shops. And I was pretty good at that. And I got some competition in shops them days down that street, you'd be surprised. We got, you know, every shop, drapers, books, stores, and I was in this competition. And I got first prize for window dressing. And I'm trying to think how much I've got. I'm still seeing a photo somewhere. It wasn't very much, like £1, I think it was. First prize ticket, red card. And the street used to be full on the weekends, you know. One book pictures, second house and first house. And that went on.
Did you hand your wages over to your mother?
Oh yes, I've done everything. I handed them over to the wife. And never opened my wage packet.
And you'd get your pocket money?
Well, I didn't get very much, I didn't end this.
As a teenage and becoming a young man, what leisure activities did you get up to in your teens and up to 20?
Well, I was beginning to court then. The shop next door to where I lived was the ice cream man who was there. And Mary was in. That was his daughter. I courted her, well, I knew him, living next door to him, because the back of our house was just next door to them. We were all matched together. But Mary was a only girl. No, that's where I got my wife from there. That was the first courtship. It's been on ever since.
And as courting couples again, it was what? We're just walking in the countryside. What did you do?
Yeah.
You couldn't go very far.
No. You could go out here on the Sunday and everybody would be out walking. The weekends. Was no entertainment.
After 21, what happened to you?
Well,
you've mentioned the fact you went to these shops.
This sports was on every year. I got first prize 3 years running at my shop. Scott the Draper, the wholesaler. Yeah, the man from Arnipool dressed me with beautiful winners and that. And the butchers and everything. I had some, you know, had some shops, and there was some nice shop dressing. But anyway, I managed to get first prize 3 years running. And the ones that used the shop was the foreman of Cooperative Store with Leah. Wigley Incorporated, one of the biggest stores up in the north, was Sherman Hill Incorporated. That was Wigley Hill branch. The former mayor was one of the judges, and someone from Hartlepool. And I was told I was out of work there. That was finished at 21. And I was just jobbing here and there. I was on the door a bit. And in the store at Wigley Hill, he used to come and collect this money, this foreman. He used to look at the shop, but Jules is my shop. But there was a prize, you know, he went to some more. And at holiday time, they wanted like somebody to get him a pullout extra. He said, he told the manager up there, Anthony Cairns, he was manager then. He says, well, send them up. He says, And then this, he couldn't get into the store without being a member, and he also passed an exam for mathematics, you know. That was the way they got them in. And I can tell you this much, all them that was on the committee, their sons was all in the store. Them days. There's no two ways about that. And anyway, I went up and saw the manager. And he says, why? He says to Billy, the foreman. He says, well, he's a man. He wants a man's wages. You know, 21. The top wages, 24. When you were 24 them days, anyway, I got on there as temporary, the corporate stores. And mine to get in there was one of the best jobs there was. We were all up pin strip trousers on then, and minor. The best jobs there was. I was getting 3 guineas a week, and minor was getting 30 bob. And my wife was pleased because I had a kiddie then, you know.
He'd been married?
Yes, oh yes, he married. Well, married 25. The wife's about 3 months older than me. And we were married a 25-year-old. And now where are we at?
Yeah, we were talking about your work with the store. Did you specialise in a certain department?
Well, yes. I was a provision hand throughout my life, but I was also, he took me on account of the window dress in the north. But even being one of the judges, you know, he said he was a good man. So I started there, and I used to get about 6 months in the year, Christmas time and holiday time, you know, taking them as they left, took every job as every lad left. We can do that, warehouseman, counter hand, whatever. And I was better off there 6 months in the year than I would anywhere else for that wage. They keep sending for me. But you see, I couldn't get in the store because they never set a man on. The committee men used to come down there every Friday. See, you've got this lad still on here, got this man still on here. That was one of the committee men talking to the manager, Andy. But it went on that night. So anyway, as it went on, it came down one Friday night, as he used to come, the committee men, to go up into the headquarters to meet him. Andy, boss, he says, get down the cellar, sit out the road with her. If he doesn't see you, he'll not mind, you know. He wanted me on with the manager. And that's the way that went. I was better off 6 months there than working full time anywhere else. So that wasn't so bad. The wife didn't know she was born. As many times the window cleaner used to come up the street clean when she had a penny to, you know. Things like that.
The 6 months that you didn't work, you said you were on the dole for that 6 months, were you? Mm-hmm. How much did you get for dole in those days?
Well, I think it was about 10 pounds.
Not very much?
No. Everybody was on the dole then, mine was a lot. We used to go from here to Wingate down there. We had to walk from here to Wingate twice a week and sign on it.
Did they offer you things like training for work, or did you get nowadays?
Well, you could, work was bad to get, very bad. When I was a young lad, it was only the pits. And if you could get the old lad out of them pits, you know, don't give anything. I was lucky to get to into the shop, or else it would have been down the pit. That was the way it was then, days.
You no doubt have your own house, did you, when you were married? Did you get your own house when you married?
No, when I was first married, it was the property belonged to the wife's father. I was, of course, course, we got that one, and we lived upstairs. And an old lady lived downstairs. Of course, there was the convenience, you know, the closet. We had to walk about 50 or 60 yards away, passing houses to the closet, in the open.
These would be earth closets, were they? Were they the earth closets?
No, it wasn't earth closet. But it was the way they were built. They were still there. Just, and there was a butcher shop in that square, definitely, and a killing shop. And it's, and she used to come down the road. She tells these of how she used to work in washing dishes and things like that. Down the cellar, down the stairs, down the cellar to the pot house and things like that. And the killing, you know, pram, pulling the pram upstairs, you know. And things, all things like that. It was hard work. The smell, they used to put the pot fires on with what they call the fat after the wind, you know. There was a smell coming up the chimneys at the top. There were still rats running around up there, then there's.
What accommodation were you in? You said it was upstairs. How many rooms did your house have?
Two. Bedroom and like a front room. And below was Barclays Bank. The property belonged to her father, my wife's father. And that was that. And after that, the council house, they built these houses. Then they were up, but they hadn't been built long. And I had a job to get a council house them days. And I was in the army at the time. And the rent man, we knew rent man Kirk, and he was the rent man Kirk. And there was a house called empty. And somebody spoke for us the week later. And we about a bit of influence to get a house. And I moved into number 13 down there. The wife did, I was in the army.
And that was the start of getting a decent accommodation.
What? The wife thought she was a king and queen.
Had you a family by this time?
I just had the one boy.
Coming up, can we go back to the time that the war was beginning to, you know, was coming closer? Did you recall what was happening at that time? Did you realise that there was a problem on the continent and things were not so good?
Well, of course, in the Chamberlain's days, you know, if it was a Chamberlain, it was a member of the Labour Party, then the war was broke out, wasn't it? Chamberlain.
He was Prime Minister.
Yeah, he was. Peace and old time, we went and saw Hitler, and it must have made a bit of a lot of them, didn't it? At the time. So we still. But anyway, war did break out. I was at the store at the time. It was a temporary hand. War broke out.
I was going to ask you where you were on the actual moment that war was declared. That would be the Sunday.
I was with my brother-in-law, the ice cream man, and we were shopping. And we're coming along the shopping road, coming back, and the sirens went, and war was on. We heard it, you know, war's broke out, you know. And that was the first time. And everybody was. I thought the bombs were going to drop there now. You know.
As the sirens went straight away, didn't they?
Yeah, they did.
Did people think it was going to be the same kind of war as the First World War?
First World War, terrible
time. When the war broke out, were your family a little bit worried about it? You would be getting near military age.
Oh, I was. Yes, I was. At the store, which 21.
Your brothers, did they get involved in the forces?
Yes. I have two brothers in the war. The others was exempt. The jobs they had. Bricklayers and whatnot, I don't know. They were exempt. But two of them managed to get in the war.
Were you still working on this part-time situation when the war broke out?
Yes, I was. War broke out. 39, and this is clear, wasn't it? And no being called up then, around that time, wasn't it?
Yes, there were men being called into the forces. What immediately happened to you when war was declared? Were you called up straight away?
No, I wasn't called up straight away. We worked a few months. The manager came to me. He says, "I'm going to tell me son-in-law." Sid, he says, I was at Aspen Branch then. I was looking there. He says, "Would you like to come?" He says, "He wants a job on the ground with the Air Force." No, I says, I'll go when he sent for me. And up he went. And I hung on. And I didn't get my papers till 1947, 40. It must have been July, something like that. It was in the warm weather. I got my papers, the cold.
How did you feel at that moment?
Terrible. Everybody was the same, didn't they?
You didn't want to go.
Oh, there's nobody who wants to go before. I almost forgot that if they went and wanted the job they wanted, but I wouldn't volunteer for nothing for in the army. Never volunteer.
Had Dunkirk occurred by then?
I don't think so. No. No, Dunkirk wasn't then. It was when I was in the army, I think Dunkirk.
Yeah, yes, it occurred when you were in the army, actually joined up.
Anyway, I got my papers. It'd been 1940. It was the summertime, so July. I was called to Durham. I don't know what all that was, but anyway, I was called to Durham. And I went with one of my mates. He was a store man. And a butcher lad, really tight. Three of us went. Called them together. Of course, there was a load of them. When I got through there, they took particulars. Officers sitting on the bench with a revolver on the table. I don't know what that's for, like. Is you going to have any trouble with you? They took particulars down and told them what I was. I was a privileged man, shopkeeper. All right. See. Put my name down. He says, "We'll send for you when we need you."
Had you a medical? At the time?
Oh, yes. Yes. Because the butcher lad, Billy, he didn't pass. He was flat-footed. So he was lucky. I didn't pass.
Was it a pretty extensive medical that they gave you?
Well, I can't remember.
But there was a medical, and you passed, all right.
There was a medical, yes. Yeah. Oh, yes, because he hadn't passed. He'd be off and, you know, asking about your parents for any trouble.
Did they ask you what unit you would like to join?
No, never. This was sent by the ship when we went here. It wasn't long for them. They sent me up to Barrow. was a sad fellow.
Your parents would be quite worried, no doubt.
I went with abroad, of course. When I came back, he told the wife, like, I'd pass the army, I'd get bored. Everybody was, you know, they were all on the same edge with this army business and calling up and nothing. This one's going, that one.
You say it wasn't long before you got word to go.
Yeah, that's right. I got my tickets, my fares and everything, and I had to go to Darlington to meet that train. Darlington. Mm-hmm. The Trine bus was running in. It was the only hard bus. It was Trine. It's out of date now. Trine bus. I don't know whether you all remember the Trine bus. It went to Darlington. And that was a sad one when I went to say goodbye to the wife, you know. I got to Darlington, and they were all there, all the men that was called up, was on the platform. I'm not sure when we pulled up at Newcastle. They're going up, picking them up. The next station, well, it was packed. Women and lovers kissing, you know, and women and crying, you know. They didn't make things any better. I can remember that. And we go there anyway.
Did you know that you were in the Durham Light Infantry by now?
Oh, yes.
I told you that with the notification.
Oh, yes.
So then you went on from Newcastle
up to Edinburgh. We got up to Froxton Camp. That's where we first were called up. Now I see he's got another name for it there, Tommy, in that paper. But it was the same. It's a summer hall. It was outside of Edinburgh, this side. That was the south side of Edinburgh. And it was summertime. And of course, that's when we don't get fit up with everything, you know, walked in. It was all tents then, tents. And of course, we were issued with tin plates, you know, and that.
What uniform did they give you?
Well, that's what they dished out. They dished out the khaki blouse and that. It was just flung at you. You know, they just looked at you and kept, you know, that on and that. And then they picked the rifle up, all grease. P-14 is the old army rifle with the aperture coming up, you know, all tarred up, being proven, you know. Get that cleaned, you know, that's money a job, you know, clean that up and everything was just flung at you. The colours, you carry on with a mile big and everything. And then it was all, after that, it was all, we got injections, you know. We had all sorts before we went abroad, injections. We used to say the cost of pounds, these. They were all for malaria, everything, you know. But they did take me in the arm, they kicked me, I heard. So